Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to our services this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up the service with prayer. Do not forget the trunk-a-hunt Wednesday. I love that. It fits though for what we want to do. Wednesday, April the 5th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Bring Easter baskets, hot dogs will be served. If you want to participate in that, just be here a few minutes early. We'll do it kind of like we did the trunk or treat. We'll have it all out in the out in front of the church and everything. So be in prayer for that. Our clothes giveaway is next Saturday, March the 25th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have any items, just have them here to the church by the 19th. That's Wednesday night. And also, if you'd like to help set it all up, we'll be at the church Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. To put all the clothes and items out and all. And also, can always use help that Saturday if you would like to come and help us. Please be here. We'll open the doors at 8 a.m. Flower sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway. VBS meeting Wednesday night at 6:30. If you are interested in helping, you are invited to that meeting. We'll meet here at the church at 6:30 Wednesday night. Any other announcements? Choir practice, 5:15 this afternoon. If not, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and opportunity to gather here and worship you today, Lord. We just want to lift Brother David up to you as he brings the message today, Lord, that you laid on his heart, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that as a church, Lord, that we will be obedient to your word, Lord, and that we will be mission-minded, Lord. And as these activities that we have announced today, Lord, the trunk-a-hunt, Lord, to celebrate Easter and the clothes giveaway, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would just continue to reach out to this community in ways that let people know that we love them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
Good morning again. Anybody have a birthday this past week or today we can recognize? All right, this is about 5, 6. Well, our call to worship this morning is hymn 361. If you're looking in the hymnals, please stand, smile, sing real loud. Because there's more in the choir right now than out there, and I want to hear y'all. It's all right.
Worship him.
seated. I can find my bulletin here. I'll get to the next. I have it right here. 335, if you're looking in the hand. 335.
Thank you. Father, we just thank you so much this morning, blessed you so upon us. And Father, I just pray. thank you, choir, congregation, both for fun and good music and being here today to hear God's word. We've talked a lot about what Matthew is trying to teach us in these last few weeks. And Matthew is reporting things that Jesus said, but Matthew's gospel brings in practical things that we can do as a church, as individuals. And so today, the verses that we are going to look at help us think about how to develop a living church. And I use that title because there are a lot of churches that I think you could strike out the word living. I'm afraid that that happens sometimes by default. Sometimes it happens because people lose their focus as to why the church is here in the first place. And so we're talking today about how to either develop, change, or grow a living church. What is happening within us? Now, I'm going to go ahead and throw another definition in here to help us grasp a great part of what I'm talking about. And that simply is this: who, what is the church? Well, you can't really look at yourself, but if you look around the room at each other, that's the church. It's us. God lives in here. We are referred to in Scripture as this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And maybe if we would start there and grasp that at the very beginning, we would have a different understanding. Because number one, we would realize that we have responsibility. Number two, we have within us the ability to change and the opportunity to make a difference. Because who we are is important. What we do with who we are is what God is looking for. And I hope that we can get some of that. To carry out the Great Commission. And we really have talked about the Great Commission, but we haven't gotten there because that's at the end of Matthew. And trust me, we will get there. But to carry it out effectively, spiritual leaders, and take that and spread that broadly in what we're talking about, but simply those who are pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, all of those that we think of as leaders, but I'm pointing particularly at pastors and who they are. We've got to learn to equip others, okay? Learn to equip others to assist themselves, who in turn will multiply the process and teach others. It is not something we do on our own. First of all, I want to tell you that I can say it this way, that I don't work for you. Amen. It's not because I'm your interim pastor. I'm saying the pastor does not work for you. The pastor works for God. Always has, always will. If he's not, then you need to ask him who he's working for. And it's not a slam to the church. It's an organizational thing that God said, hey, Jesus is the head of the church. Hello? Okay. Jesus is the head of the church, But the pastor is the shepherd of the church to take care of you and to work with you and to lead you to multiply yourself. It was one time in my experience and in my growth that all of a sudden I grasped and realized the point that a shepherd cannot, get this, produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds lead sheep. It became so obvious. I mean, it literally, for me, that was a slap in the face. Because I began to think, oh my goodness, maybe I've been doing this all wrong. But it doesn't mean that I don't help, lead, guide. I think I'm cutting in and out today, of course. Sean and I talked about this just before y'all came in. So they're going to help me with that microphone. I tell you what, I'm going to take this headset off and use this, and I promise I won't move. At least not far. Hold on. Because if I don't, that's going to distract me now. Give them a second to get the volume where they want it to be. But I can't take going in and out. Excuse me, that's distracting more than anything else. Sheep produce sheep. Bottom line. But we have to teach others, and that's one reason why I'm sad. I regret that we do not have as much training in church as we have in the past. I'm not sure what to do about it other than do what we can. But I'm saddened because I believe that a lot of it has simply gone the wayside because of our lifestyle. We have changed. Used to people, church members, could and would give you 4 or 5 hours a week. Then it got down to about 3, and now it's about 2. And that's about all the time we spend in church. But you take what you got, okay? And I look at Paul said to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and what you have heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And that was something that drew me into ministry, because early on in my life, I felt like I was a teacher. I felt like I could communicate with others. And yet I knew I wasn't going to be like a school teacher. It just didn't seem right. And then all of a sudden, God said, but David, and this was back in the 70s, he said, you know, there are other positions than just the pastor or just the music leader. And those were the two people that I fashioned my life after. And so as my college education and then my seminary training evolved, I saw where and how I could use those abilities. Well, last Wednesday night, I started rambling. Some of y'all who were here can just grin and bear. But I started rambling a little bit, and I decided I'd tell y'all how to grow a church. And that almost is the same sermon line. But the secret is something that needs to be revealed and something that we just need to put into practice. And I have seen it work. First thing, see, I'm going to do it again, but I've got it better organized tonight. First thing we do is we get a church roll and divide it among the 30 or 35 people that are here today. Okay? Let's see that. We take it and divide them on y'all, and we take roll. Now, that's where it'll surprise some of you. The Methodist Church does that all the time. They have most Methodist churches have a little book in the aisle. And when you sit down, they just pass the book, write down who's there, and pass it back. Okay, but we can do that. I'm not going to tell you when just yet. All right, we do that, and then we ask each one of you to call or visit, but call is fine and preferable, but call the people on your list, because obviously you have more members that are here today, right? All right, so you do that, and this may sound simple, but all you have to do in the conversation is call the person and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't think I spoke to you last Sunday." And that's not a lie, it's the truth. Because number one, if they weren't here, you didn't speak to them, okay? Number two, if they were here and you were on the other side of church, you probably didn't speak to them either. Or number three, you just say it because I'm asking you to, okay? That was it. But you tell them that, and I hope that you're doing okay, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. And that's all your speech has to do. But okay, what about their response? Their response is going to be, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I wasn't there last week." They will respond to you some that way. Some will say, "Oh, thanks. I'm sorry I missed you, but I'll see you next Sunday." If they were sick or if they were out of town, they'll probably tell you that, and you need to make a note of that and write it down and say, "Thank you, I'm glad to talk to you." Now, you can do that by a telephone call. That's the easiest way. Some of you might say, "Well, I can email somebody and do it." Well, okay. The most effective way the first time around is just to call. Secondly, you don't have to ask where they were or how long it's been, because that's sort of irrelevant at the time. You don't have to say, "We were having something special," or just let them know you hope that they will be able to come next week, whatever next week is. Or you could, at this particular point, mention, "You know, Easter's 3 weeks. We look to see you then." That gives them a little lead time to get ready. Or you can say, "In 4 weeks, we're going to eat at church because it's our 155th year anniversary, and we'd love to have you here with us and celebrate." Everybody likes a party. Okay? Everybody likes a party. You be positive and upbeat, okay? And take notes and find out, they don't need to know you take notes, find out anything they say to you about when or where or what. But you don't have to comment about that. Just write it down and say, "Great, I'll see you next Sunday." Also, call them by name. I didn't say that with the other because that gets a little confusing, but whoever it is, call them by name. Let them know who you are. Week two, okay, that's this first week. Week two, the next week, tech roll again. Everybody who's here in the sanctuary, and add any new people or those who are not present the week before, and you can divide that list a little more. So in other words, you start off, and this week Harold is going to have 15. Next week he may only have 8. So you see, Shauna doesn't have but 30 and 16 to do next week. You see what I said? Some of you will catch that. She did. Okay. This week, call again anyone who is not there. So, give you a little figure to figure that out. And that means, I don't know, we've got right at 30 people here today. 30 people will call at least 30 or 40 or 50 more, depending on what the actual membership list is. In the middle of the week, you'll know who's been contacted. But the next week, next Sunday, you'll have a few more people here. And you'll invite them to to do the same thing because you want them to be a part of what you're doing. By Easter, and most of the time on Easter, I can't verify this because I was here the Sunday before Easter. I was here Palm Sunday last year, and I didn't come Easter. But most churches, anywhere you go, are going to have more people here on Easter, and I don't want this to come across negative, but you do have some C and E people in your church. That's Christmas and Easter only. Okay? That's when some people come. Some of it's habit, some of it's to please mama, some of it is because they don't come any other time. And I'm not putting that down. If they want to come on Christmas and Easter, that's great. At least they're in church. Some. And that's what we're trying to do, is help people see that it's a good habit. Okay? So, what we're trying to do, folks, call them by name. We want to recognize them. We want to show people that we care. And we only have 3 Sundays to Easter. So, you can start now. We won't do the whole plan. I'm just going to say, if you want to start now, go home this week and call somebody who you know is not here right now. I'm sure you have some folks who come like that, but it's a good chance that they want to be here on Easter, or they want to be here on our 155th anniversary. And that's great. You may find some people who have actually moved away. You may find some people who have gone to another church. And if that's okay, come back and tell us, because we want to know that for a fact. Well, let's look and see what the scripture has, and you'll see how this ties in as well. Today we're looking at Matthew, the 10th chapter. And we're going to do about half of these verses today. So let me read some of these and you listen or read along with me. I think it's on the screen now, yes. And he called to them, beginning verse 1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal every disease and every affliction. Did you know that? When's the last time you read that? I'm stopping right there. When's the last time you read that and realized the apostles, he gave them abilities to help carry the word? And these are things he didn't give to all of us. No. He gave these abilities, these powers, to the apostles at that time when Jesus was here. So it was a one-time thing, but he did. And he said, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me stop right there. You see what it said in verse 6? But go rather to the lost sheep. He's saying, go to those people who need the Savior. Now, who is that? That's anyone who's not a Christian, anyone who doesn't know the Lord, anyone who needs help. And what did we figure out the other day? If the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we are all sinners, and we all need a physician, and we all need who? The great physician. There we go. Verse 8, wow. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. I don't know when I thought about the apostles that they did those or could do those. Now, there's not a lot else written about it because you see, them being able to do the things like Christ did was not Jesus' focus. His focus was sending them out, revealing who Jesus was. What is it that we do? We tell others who he is. Who gets the credit for it? He does. Why do we do it? For him. Okay, now we're starting to get our mind going in the right direction. He tells these apostles, you received without paying, so give without paying. Don't charge anything. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. Don't take any money for it. Don't take any salary. No bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And that's where people talk about that. You know, the pastor, they need to be paid. They should be paid. And that's what he's saying. They earn who they are. So he's saying, go out and go work out. In whatever town or village, that's verse 11, whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. Go and work at it is what he's telling us there. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now get this one, verse 14. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Now let's stop right there. He's telling us that sometimes we run into people who have already stopped listening to God. There are people out there who have shut their ears and they don't want to hear the gospel. There are people out there who have turned so toward Satan that they are not going to turn toward God. What he's telling us is, don't argue with them. It's not you having a bad attitude, it's you realizing that if they have turned that way, then you need to go tell somebody else. And it's his way of telling his disciples, look guys, we have a lot of people who need to hear the word of God. So he said, turn around nicely, walk outside the door, and shake the dust off your sandals and let it go. You see, sometimes we beat the dead horse until we can't find the horse anymore. What we need to do is present the gospel. That's who we are. I'd like to say it more this way. What you need to do, you and you and you, is to tell others what God has done for you. You see, that's what people need to hear. Verse 16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's not going to be easy. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, or what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Remember we talked last Sunday or the Sunday before about what you need is given to you daily. That the people of Israel, you can't do anything about yesterday because it's gone. And the Lord with the people of Israel gave them fresh manna every single day. He even told them, don't gather more manna than you can eat in one day, because if you do, it'll spoil. I will give you what you need to survive, to live, to be for today. We have the strength for today. Tomorrow is not promised, but today you can make it because I'm taking care of you. Verse 20 says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you who will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Okay, what he's saying there is if their household has already called itself the house of Satan or the house of the devil, or they have already gone off to worship demons and the devil and witches, turn your back on that and go home, because they probably are living that way and will not change. Here in the text, Jesus gives his apostles special gifts and abilities. And again, Jesus wants the scribes to know where the power comes from. This is an unusual chapter. It's a chapter that we don't think about much because of what happened. But it's a chapter where Jesus said, look at what you can have. And I think about that sometimes because I believe that part of our problem in the church is that we don't have faith that God can do anything. We don't have faith that God does control. And so we mess up. Now, here's a list. Can you give me that other screen now? Yeah, there we go. These are the 12 apostles. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas. I wanted to do that for you because so often I have read these names over and over and over, and I'm not going to ask you to memorize them, and we're not even going to have a test on it. But I want you to see that those are the 12 men that Jesus gave these abilities to. It can be confusing because if you go back and read the scripture part back there as well, usually when you see it in scripture, they're giving defining people or other names for other people. The surnames started in about the 11th or 12th century. Your first name is called usually your Christian name or your given name. Your surname is your family name. And so I'm David, and that distinguishes me from my brothers, Jim and Dan. In my family, we are all cooks, and that was my dad's name and given to us. And so we look at that, and we can get confused. And even in Asia, and usually in Japan and China and I think Indonesia, some of those, what they do is they will put the surname first. And it's just a matter of placement. The surname is usually the last name. But if I were Japanese, I would be Cook David or Cook J.A. or Cook Jim or Cook Dan. And so it actually winds up being something that depends on where you live. But that's why we do that. And some of these guys really were only called by one name, because if you go back and you look at Peter, his name, most of the time in scripture, might confuse you because it says Simon called Peter. And then, of course, Jesus used that and taught him about it. I think it's interesting because not only did they start with Simon, but Andrew, or start with Peter, Peter and Andrew are brothers. But the third and fourth one, James and John, they're brothers also. So there's just two families. And then, because both of those, James and John, were Zebedee's sons, then you've got Philip and Bartholomew. And Thomas, we hear a lot about him because he is either called the doubter or he is called the twin. So there was another one of him somewhere. Matthew, we know about him. We're reading about him right now in these sermons. And he was the tax collector. And I said that when we started. He probably was one of the few that had more stability, had more money. A lot of people probably didn't like him because he was a tax collector. James was the son of Alphaeus, and that's James number two. Then you have Thaddeus, and I actually forgot, but there was another name for Thaddeus. And then Simon again, who actually started out who you think was number one, but he's not, because this is Simon the Zealot. So at least they turned out and had Peter and Simon. And then, of course, Judas Iscariot. And you know Judas because of what he did. And yes, there was a 12th one who was added back named Matthias. And I didn't put his name up there. But anyway, I wanted you to grasp that these were the ones. Jesus didn't go about granting these abilities, granting these powers to just anybody. He did it for them, and it was temporary in the fact that when they died, we don't really know if they did it for a long time, but we do know that when they died, it was gone. But he let them raise the dead. And you see, there's not really any scripture that goes in and tells you about that. Jesus does ask a lot from us. When you look at this, he does. But the trick is, he always has an answer for every situation. And at times when you read maybe just one piece of scripture, you don't follow that there's more to it and that he's getting somewhere. And that's why I've tried to give you some of this through the book of Matthew to help tie some of these things together. Here's a takeaway. Sissy, you can come on down if you like because this is a short one. But as I pointed out with scripture before, our responsibility is to point others to Jesus. When the apostles were questioned as to how and why they had these miraculous powers, their answer was always Jesus. They never pointed their finger at themselves. They didn't say, well, my brother James, that's why I've got this special power. No. I was the first one that Jesus called. My name's Matthew, and that's why I'm special. And now we start understanding why we need to live that way. The real takeaway is this. It is all about Jesus, and it's not about us. We always, you can do your job and give Jesus the glory. You can go to school and give Jesus the glory. You can do your work at home, in the office, wherever you do it, and give glory to Jesus. You can live your life as your family and raise your children, all giving glory to Jesus. We have to get that right to make it work. Your challenge and your invitation today is hymn number 309, Lord, I'm Coming Home. And we're going to stand and sing that and know that Christ is coming. He's given us the opportunity. And I pray that you'll be able to tell others why you want to come to church on Easter. Let's stand and sing this together. Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.